like talent, you're in the right place. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, Keith Sanchez. Welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. Keith, what's going on, baby?
Mic check, mic check. My mic is hot, so you know it's time to talk some football, DP. Man, slated today we have some Big Ten, right? Like last week we did the SEC rankings as far as who's going to come out of the East, who's going to come out of the West, and ultimately who's going to win it, right? But this week we're going to go with the Big Ten. They're making some noise as far as they picked up two powerful teams from the Pac-12, right, with USC and UCLA. And when I went through the rankings, I kind of came across this topic first. And it was the fact of I looked at the two divisions and I noticed how unbalanced they were as far as perennial powers, as far as football, as far as, you know, programs with, I guess you could say, prominence and that people kind of gravitate to. So in one division, you have Ohio State, you have Michigan State, you have Penn State, you have Michigan. In one division. Then on the other side, you have Wisconsin, you have Purdue, you have Nebraska. And I'm like, this is really uneven as far as, you know, just I guess TV viewership. And when you the big picture thing is that when you bring it to a Big Ten championship game, right? Like I would think in my mind that an Ohio State versus Penn State matchup would bring in a lot more money versus Ohio State versus Wisconsin, right? Just as far as the prominence of the program and what people relate to. So I came across that, and I wanted to get your opinion on it and see how you felt about it.
Nah, when you brought this topic up to me and we looked at it, you brought it to light because I wasn't aware of this, Keith. I did not know it was this uneven. And the term balance of power is so heavily tilted to the East. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you got, like you said, you have the Ohio State, you have Michigan and Michigan State and Penn State, even Maryland being a good team. Then you got Wisconsin and what, Iowa? Like, that's it. Like, I prefer not to see Michigan versus Iowa in the Big Ten championship, right? That's just what I prefer not to. And because from a money standpoint, it just doesn't make sense. But Keith, before I continue, when we talk about money real quick, it's a great segue into just shouting out our guys over at BetOnline, as they are the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. But as to my point, like I said, talking about money, it's weird. Like, because I would think the championship game, you want to generate as many views as possible, Keith. How enticing is it seeing an Iowa team that has lackluster QB play? Iowa's that NFL team that's just a quarterback away, right? Yeah. That's Iowa. Iowa and Wisconsin are those NFL teams that we say every year, they're just one quarterback away. If they can trade for Russell Wilson, man, the sky's the limit for this team. That's Iowa and Wisconsin. The other teams on the opposite side in the East, they're typically teams that already have quarterbacks, right? Those are the best quarterback situations. So, Keith, bringing in these two new teams is going to be very big. Because it's going to be weird too at the same time. Because okay, it's even. It's 7-7, right? You're bringing in UCLA and USC, which means you got to keep it even. So one team's still gonna go to the East, right, and one team's gonna go to the West. So you're only strengthening by one.
The Big Ten is going, they're probably going to put UCLA in a bracket with Minnesota and Wisconsin, and then put USC on the bracket with Ohio State.
Like, bro, can we not?
I guess maybe it does two things. Maybe it guarantees matchups, right? You know for sure that Ohio State and Penn State and those teams are going to play each other. But I agree with you. I think they're missing on the championship game, and that's something – going back to the SEC, that's something that the SEC always hits on, right? Like people say that, man, the SEC championship is kind of like a mini national championship or as a preview to the championship because there's always two good perennial teams. And the Big Ten has the teams, right? They have the team that have the notoriety as far as, you know, when you see that logo, you know exactly what team that is. So they have that. They just have to fix it. But I'll tell you this. I thought about something. Because we didn't get to talk about the Big Ten realignment, right? And their commissioner talked about possibly adding teams in the future. And so this is what I thought, because he said that, you know, they were going to add more, you know, possibly more teams from the Pac-12. Do you have your teams in the, you know, regular with the, you know, Big Ten alignment? So this is what I thought. I'm like, what if they add probably – you know, four, maybe six teams, however the math works out. And what they do is they have a Big Ten North, a Big Ten South, a Big Ten East, and a Big Ten West, similar to how the NFL approaches NFC, AFC, and then having four divisions. So I'm like, that would probably be the best approach, you know, because now you have Penn State as far as they're in the Big Ten East, right? And then you get Ohio State and Michigan allowed them to play each other. And they're in the Big Ten North. You have the Big Ten West. If you add, if you, you have USC, UCLA, if you add Oregon and maybe Washington, right? And then, you know, the South, I don't know where they're going to get those from, but, you know, they'll have to figure something out. But I said, I was like, maybe big picture wise, this is where they're trying to go with it, you know, by adding all of those teams. But this, the way this is currently aligned, just doesn't match up. It doesn't match up at all. And for the sake of this podcast, it's going to make one division that we talk about way more interesting than the other. So this is what we'll do. We'll start with the quote unquote less interesting side first. Mm-hmm. Big Ten, the Big Ten West, right? And so that's Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska, Illinois, and Northwestern. Not a lot of star power, some offensive linemen, right? Couple offensive linemen, maybe
corn-fed offensive linemen, man.
Running the football is in this division, right? So I would like to get your takes on, you know, after we did our scouting and you're able to kind of put everything together, know how these teams are structured, who do you see coming out of the Big Ten West?
Man, I mean, you know, the top two teams in that, you know, Wisconsin and Iowa are there because they are the most complete teams, right? Like, they have the offensive line, they have defensive talent on all three levels. You know, the main, which is the story of this division, the quarterback play is very subpar. Let's put it like that. Put it in the best way to put it, right? Like,
that's,
you know,
the
you got Graham.
Nice,
yeah. Yeah, saying nice. You got Graham Mertz, you know, who's okay. He's a solid quarterback. You got Spencer Petras, and you know, it's not what you want. For people who love quarterback play, these aren't the two teams you want to watch. So I'm just going to put that out there to you right now. You don't want to go ahead and turn this game on and expect 45 points and high octane offense. You're going to see a lot of physicality, a lot of run game. These are two teams who are going to play in more of 25 point games, like it's 25, 21 type situation, which in the NFL, that sounds good. In college football, it's like, man, that's a really low scoring game. That's a low scoring game. So when I look at this conference, man, for me, I think Wisconsin's probably going to stay at the top because I feel like with them, for one, they have the best running game in that division. I'm not going to say running back because they're the best running back. Isn't Braylon Allen, sorry folks, for the ones who are Braylon Allen fans, it's Trevion Henderson on the other side of the conference, but we'll get to him in a little bit. But you have a dominant run game with him and Chaz Malusi, and Braylon Allen is a 6'2", 240-pound former linebacker playing running backs, and he runs the ball like it. So they're going to give him and Chaz a lot of burn in terms of handing the ball off and play-action football. Then their defensive line, Keanu Benton and those boys are stout. You know, we just saw Leo Chanel and I think Jack Sanborn get drafted, two physical, big, you know, two big physical linebackers who can make plays, especially downhill. And their secondaries are pretty good, especially on the college level as well. Now, don't get me wrong, for the receivers that they see, they're not tested a ton with the passing game. But in terms of skill set, they're talented. So I think these will be the top two teams. Minnesota, they lost their, I believe they lost their quarterback. If I'm not mistaken, I think the quarterback went to the draft. So yeah. They have Muhammad Ibrahim. Oh yeah, Tanner Morgan is back. He's coming back healthy, as well as Muhammad Ibrahim. So, and they're going to reunite with their offensive coordinator. So they do have continuity on the offensive side. Defensively, they lost some pieces on the D line, right? Boy Mafe, and I'm not even going to dare to try to pronounce his teammate's name. I'm not going to do it. But that's big. They lose a lot. They lost some really key players, some high end players defensively. So I'm gonna stick with the top two guys. I think Wisconsin's going to be the team to pull it out. I think they have the most talented roster out of the top two and top three. So I think it's going to be Wisconsin's going to pull out this. I would say black and blue division, because it's going to be a lot of hitting, a lot of physicality.
Yeah, nah, 100%. Man, you didn't give any love to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. You know, our CEO is an alumni of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. There was no,
sorry,
no
Paige. Corn.
There was no Cornhusker love in that. But no, for me, man, this was tough because it's not much offensive star power. So you almost have to lean on, okay, who has the best run game? And that's Wisconsin. Out of this division, Wisconsin has the best run game. And I think looking at the other teams, they've probably been the most consistent, right? Like Iowa flashes here and there. Nebraska might have a good year once every 10 years. You know, Minnesota, they had a decent year. They had some NFL draft-worthy players. But Illinois, Northwestern, you know, they're just not there right now. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin also out of the West. Let's see if they can score some points. I think that's what this will be up to, is that what team can become more dynamic than just running 21, 22 personnel, and they can kind of get in some 11 personnel, some 10 personnel, and, you know, kind of spread that thing around. And that's what kind of had me thinking, okay, which one of these teams has the potential to do that? And the only team that I can kind of see is maybe Nebraska. And the only reason I'll say that is because of this. They got a transfer quarterback in, Casey Thompson from Texas. And he's a dual threat guy. He has experience playing high level football. So maybe he can bring in a different dynamic. Then also they brought in a former LSU player, a wide receiver, is a guy that's super fast, can stretch the field vertically. So maybe there'll be a little something there. But, you know, that's a steady beating heart, a wish and a prayer for me. So I'm going to stay with Wisconsin out of the West. But now we're about to transition to the East. We get to the East now, and we get to have some fun. Right now we get to talk about some versatile football. We get to talk about some wide receivers. We get to talk about some quarterbacks. So in the SEC, the SEC East, the Big Ten East, you have Indiana at the bottom. You have Rutgers at 6, Maryland at 5, Michigan State at 4, Penn State at 3, Michigan at 2, and Ohio State at number 1. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. But go through and give me your synopsis of the Big Ten East, and how do you see that thing playing out?
Man, this is a very interesting just division, man, because, you know, you look at Maryland, and they got Tua Tagovailoa. They brought in Florida transfer Jacob Copeland to go with Dante Demas and Rakeem Jarrett.
Yeah, that's a good wide receiver trio right there.
And, you know, they got one of our guys that we've stumbled upon this spring and this summer, and Jalen Duncan at the tackle position. They have a good run game, or a young running back there as well. So it's like, you know, that Derek and Mike Locksley as an offensive mind is he's going to dial it up, right?
He's going to dial it up.
We've seen what he can do with weapons when he was at Alabama, Keith. Like, we know that he can call explosive plays and for the offense, and he has some weapons to do just that, right? Michigan State. You know, this is a team that we talked about it, you know, this past spring. Teams are using the transfer portal as free agency to rebuild their rosters, and Michigan State did that. They weren't on anybody's radar coming into last season, but you get that Kenneth Walker transfer, and it shifts gears for your program, right? So this year, you know, they have Peyton Thorne returning, Jaden Reed, and they brought in – I can't remember the running back's name, but they have another running back coming in through the transfer portal. He's not Kenneth Walker, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm not going to even go there. He's not Kenneth Walker, but he is a good, solid running back. So they're going to be able to do that. And then they do play tough defense over at Michigan State. Penn State, you know, Mitchell Tinsley transferring over, and they can run the ball. They typically have a good offensive line. The main thing with them is, man, replacing the athletes that they had on the defensive side of the ball, man.
I agree. They lost some dudes. They had some dudes last year.
Man, Arnold Epiketti, Brandon Smith, like, they lost some guys. Tariq Castro Fields going to the league, and Jaquan Brisker. And
Jesse Luketta.
Jesse Luketta, you know, one of our TDN, you know, draft legends that we show a lot of love to, man. Like, you lost not just some dudes, but some dudes in the locker room, some leaders. When you're going into those tough games, can keep the young guys level-headed, right? So, like, you lose that. It's going to be big. Now, offensively, they lost their best player, Jahan Dotson. But shout out to Parker Washington, because we expect him to step into that role as the guy that they want to funnel and run the passing game through. And then you jump to Michigan, man. And you know how I feel about it. I said it on, I said it before, man. Like, Michigan has the weapons, Keith, to where if the quarterback play matches, they can go toe to toe offensively with anyone in the country. Like, you got a dynamic duo with Edwards and Corum in the backfield. You have Cornelius Johnson and Roman Wilson, who's a 4.37 just blazer, right? You got Bell coming back, and you got two pro tight ends, man. Good offensive line, Keith. They got everything they need on offense. But the reason why they're at number two is because there's no direction of where this quarterback thing is going, Keith.
Yeah.
Like, Cade McNamara, he's a game manager. He gets the job done. But Keith, you know, you can pass with a C, right? You can pass.
Yeah, it's passing. He's passing,
right? But to win a national championship, you need a B+ to an A or higher, right? Like, you don't need to go into a game where teams are like, hey, we're going to stop the run game. And we know that's it, right? And that's kind of what that Michigan offense looked like last year with Cade at quarterback, which we saw when Georgia saw them in the playoffs. So that's why Ohio State's at one. They have a litany of five-star receivers, you know, in their receiving room. They got the best quarterback arguably in the nation right now in C.J. Stroud. Good offensive linemen. They got a really good running back group. And they have some young defenders off on the defensive side of the ball that's going to be getting, you know, that experience and take that next step forward for them. So I'm not surprised they're at number one. And still yet, they are the team to beat, Keith.
Yeah, no, I think you did a good job of going through everybody's roster, right, and highlighting the playmakers. And, you know, if our listeners paid attention at how much longer you spent on the East than versus the West, that should let you know how they should reshuffle the deck as far as conference alignment or, you know, just divisional alignment. Man, this is tough, because I'll say this, just in the evaluation process and then in the past years of college football and understanding programs who put out pro talent, one team that sticks out to me that was kind of unexpected to me at first, but Penn State. Like, I think they're underrated as far as a program. And people know Penn State. They're, you know, they're a recognizable brand, but I don't think they get labeled as an NFL factory like they should. And I believe they are. Like, they put out a good bit of NFL talent. Like, the most common thing, and it's, you know, kind of something that's been associated with Penn State starting in the 70s and the 80s and stuff, is like, you know, producing good linebackers, right? But there's so much more than that now, especially under James Franklin. They go get dynamic playmakers, you know, on the offensive side of the football. When you talk about a Saquon Barkley, you know, pass wide receivers they had in the past, Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington, they just go get football players. Miles Sanders came from Penn State, I believe. So, you know, they get high caliber football players that is really something to appreciate. So Penn State, I think, is a dark horse team for me. I agree with you. They lost a lot defensively. That is hard to just kind of make up for that and throw those guys right back into the fray. I believe they have a transfer defensive end from Maryland coming in there that I remember was a highly touted guy, five-star kid. I think his name is DeMoyne Robinson, and he was a highly talented football player. So maybe he can make some impact plays. They'll have Joey Porter at corner. Obviously, the son of, you know, Joey Porter, the Steelers linebacker. But I'm not sure if that's going to be enough to overtake who I have at number one is Ohio State. I mean, it's just too much. Like you said, it's just way too much offensive firepower. You know, everybody's going to be focused on JSN at the wide receiver position. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to slide Marvin Harrison Jr. out there. And next thing you know, he's going to have 12, 15 touchdowns next year. We all know about T. Henderson. He's going to tote the rock. C.J. Stroud is going to be spread. He's going to see it. He can make throws at all levels of the field. What will be interesting for me, and I will say this, DP, mm-hmm. How much is this defense for Ohio State going to improve? Because it's been a issue, or let's say this, they haven't operated at the caliber that they should operate at over the past couple of years with how talented or how well they recruit. So I think that'll be interesting because, like you said, this may be offensively, and I'm trying to compare this year to last year. This year might be the most talented Michigan offense we've seen in a couple years, especially if they get that quarterback position figured out. I remember mm-hmm. when you said this, I think it was two podcasts ago, I'm sorry, and you mentioned Michigan, and I was like, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying in on that. And then I actually got to watch their roster and some of the receivers they have. Then I watched Blake Corum in the running back, and I'm like, they kind of have something. They have a couple dudes. So that matchup usually, you know, determines a lot. And so it'll be interesting to see if Michigan can go back-to-back years with upsetting Ohio State. But they're going to have to do it via putting points on the board because you know Ohio State is going to score. So I'm going Ohio State out of the East. So that's both of us. We pretty much went chalk. We have Ohio State versus Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship. And I just want our listeners to kind of hit Ohio State versus Wisconsin, right? This could be Ohio State versus Penn State. Or what's wrong with, you know, doing Ohio State versus Michigan again, right? Like, let's try to aim for something like that. I predict that there will be some type of shakeup within the Big Ten alignment coming soon. But let's talk about championship game. What do we expect and who do you have winning? So, DP, go ahead and let me know what you're thinking.
Man, you know, for Wisconsin to really have a chance, Keith, it's going to be really prevalent and really pivotal that the defensive line are able to legitimately control the line of scrimmage, right? I'm talking Isaiah Mullins and Keanu Benton. They Rodas Johnson, who's stepping in for Matt Henningsen that went to the NFL, and Nick Herbig, like I said, trying to replace two starting linebackers as well with a junior and redshirt junior. And now, you know, having the cornerbacks to go up against the litany of receivers that they have in Ohio State, because offensively, we know you're going to run the ball with Wisconsin. We know you have big cornbread, fed country offensive linemen that are going to move the pile. We know that. What can Graham Mertz do? What is right. he going to do with Skylar Bell and Shamir Dyke and the young kid transfer, Keontez Lewis and Marcus Allen? What are y'all going to do? What is the tight ends going to do? You know, like, that's going to be the key. And I don't believe your defense is going to play well enough, right? Like, they may start the game out with the emotion and the energy, but Keith, all that goes, you've coached, you've been on the sideline. That goes away probably about halfway through the first quarter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Emotion kind of seeps out, man.
Nah, definitely. That adrenaline runs out, and then you realize, oh, damn, I'm playing against a really good football player.
Like,
the pregame music that you had and you was turned up and you was nodding your head and you don't play the game with your beat headphones on, right? And
no.
You get the kind of zone out. So now you lining up mano y mano and you realize, damn, this dude is good.
Right, exactly, bro. Like, NBA Youngboy is not going to help Alexander Smith cover Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just not going to happen. Like, you got to go out there and actually cover this man and slow him down. Julian Fleming and Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, Emeka also the redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Man, it's so much firepower. I can't do it. I'm going Ohio State, and I think it's going to be I think it's going to be big.
So you're predicting a blowout?
Yes, I think it's going to be unwatchable football.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go. I agree with everything you said. I was about to try to come up with something and say, you know what, let me figure out how could I get Wisconsin to where they can win this game. I can't think of anything. The only thing I could think of is, listen, if Ohio State don't show up to the game, then they have an opportunity. Wisconsin has an opportunity to win this game. I get it. You say, listen, we'll punch Ohio State in the mouth. But still, with that style of offense, you're only scoring 25, 28 points a game. There's no dominant run game that's putting up 45 points, because that's what you're going to need to be competitive with Ohio State. This offense is just too potent. There's too many different options as far as how they can beat you. And I don't think Wisconsin has a number three corner, a number four corner, a third safety, a linebacker that can cover, because that's what you're going to need to cover all of these weapons. You're going to need dudes, not just, okay, I have a good starting corner. You're going to need you don't even need just a good starting second corner. Your third guy has to be a dude, right? Your third guy has to be an NFL caliber football player, because that's what Ohio State has as their number three receiver, their number four receiver, and their number five receiver. So wow. I'm with you, man. I think it's Ohio State. I think it's Ohio State all the way. And much like I said with the Alabama discussion, I think with Ohio State that this is – a stepping stone for where they ultimately want to be. And we can talk about Ohio State as a program. When you think about the amount of a lack of amount of championships that they have won over the years, it's been disappointing when you think about how many NFL guys they've put in the league that have become high caliber football players. When you think about Michael Thomas and you think about the Bosa brothers and Ezekiel Elliott when he was operating at a high level, you had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. When you think about Von Bell, you think about all these corners, Marshawn Lattimore, Garyon Conley, and you could just keep going on and on as far as how many talented football players they put in the NFL, but it hasn't resulted in championships. So I think the Ohio State is going to be judged on will they win a national championship this year.
No, 100%. And the question I wanted to ask to close it out, Keith, when we talk about the expansion, not just, you know, we talk about SEC and Big Ten, it's weird to think about these conferences going potentially having 10 teams in each division, you know. And what I was thinking about, I was like, man, so how are they going to handle, how does the college football schedule look like with these new these super conferences, right? Do they extend the season, add a couple weeks, make it start earlier? You know what I'm saying? Do we see an extended season? Because it's okay, if right now they have 14 teams, 7 on each side in the Big Ten. Bring, and then you're going to bring in, you know, I think it's next year, you're going to bring in UCLA and USC. So that's going to go to, that's 16 teams. Well, if they add two or four more, right? That pushes that number substantially higher.
That's 20, 20.
Yeah, that's a lot of teams for one conference. So it's for me, I'm thinking about how do you handle that schedule? How do you handle scheduling? Do you stop the non-conference stuff and all the cupcakes and, I'm going to play Southern New Hampshire or whatever school we going to put Heisman numbers up on? Or do you make these teams say, we're not going to have you play against, besides maybe a Michigan, Ohio State, but you have teams literally exclusively playing just the teams in their division, because the division is so so loaded in terms of the number of teams.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought of it. I don't have an answer for it, because when you look at the NFL plays a much longer schedule. That's how they're able to kind of continue to cycle these matchups to where you get a team from the NFC North playing the AFC West, right? And they shouldn't play each other, but they just extended the schedule, right? They play 17 games now, so it's much easier to run through a team every 1 or 2 years. Now, with the Big Ten, they're going to run into the trouble of, if you put UCLA and USC on the opposite bracket, right, then how many times are you going to get that Ohio State and USC matchup in the regular season, right? Which is going to bring on a TV dollar. So it's going to have to be some type of balance. If I was the commissioner, look, they don't like to say it, but we know it. Everything is about money. So go ahead and make the money moves and let it be what it's going to be as far as if you want to now make USC and Ohio State a rivalry game to where they have to play each other every year, then go ahead and do it. In the SEC, Florida and LSU, they're cross-divisional rivals, meaning that they're scheduled in every single year to play each other, even though they're in two different divisions. So maybe Big Ten goes that type of route to where they schedule in certain matchups regardless of what happens and then just kind of rotate everything else. But I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see because I think that's going to be pivotal for every conference, how they decide once they add these extra teams, how they're going to do with the matchups moving forward.
100%, man. So, like I said, all this change that we have in college football is really going to lead to some really interesting discussions and decisions from the higher powers that be in college football. But, man, Keith, always it's always fun to talk, man. And we've built up our own content from the beginning of this pod to now. But next week, brother, we got week zero.
We are locked in. We have week zero. We get some college football going on. We get to give y'all our, I wouldn't say live reaction, but very quick turnaround reaction to some very good matchups. Man, y'all been rocking with us thus far, so y'all know that we know the game. We've studied the players. So this is a good spot to come if you're a true college football fan and you want to know about football players, matchups, and, you know, we do it in an entertaining way. We're not trying to be all boring and, you know, bore you to death. So, man, we're going to have a good time. We're going to talk some college football. Tune into us every single week.
For sure, for sure. Eloquently said, brother. But as always, guys, we want to give a quick shout out to our partners at BetOnline. Like we just said, week zero's next week. We got preseason NFL football. Make your bets. Go win you some money. And tell them that the Talent Factor sent you. All right? You know the promo code. So again, as always, find us on Apple Podcasts, especially Spotify and the other major podcasting networks. Subscribe. Like, share, leave us a 5-star review. We're going to have some stuff for you. You know what I'm saying? Start rewarding some of the fans that have give us reviews and going to give us reviews. We got some stuff in the works, guys. So stay tuned for us. As always, I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
Remember, talent is always the factor.